둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I don't know if anyone else is joining. Maybe somebody is in the background.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Please do subscribe to the whole series. You get three new interviews sent your way every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Makes it a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can do it at any of the usual spots, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Also, don't forget to give the show a rating, leave a review. That always helps out so much. We've had some great guests lately, including Neil Finn of Crowded House. We had Jasmine Cephas Jones. She was one of the original Hamilton cast members. Hauser from Two Cellos was here. Ross Lynch from the New Driver era and, you know, television star, MGMT, actor, legend, John Malkovich, Paloma Faith, Coolest Shakers, Slow Pulp, Aldous Hodge, Natalie Morales, director Matthew Vaughn, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today. So excited to have him on here, Joe Keery. You, of course, know him, Steve from Stranger Things. He was in Fargo. We're going to talk about Marmalade, that film. We're mostly going to be talking about his musical project called Joe, but spelled D-J-O. You see, he released an album in 2022 called Decide, and has this song on it called End of the Beginning that has just blown up virally in the past few weeks. So we're going to be talking all about that. We're going to look back at who he was during the writing of the album and how the song puts his past into perspective while also giving a nod to an iconic Annie Lennox classic. Joe's then going to dissect the character within a character that he played in the Kieran O'Donnell director Marmalade, getting to play a different type of character in the most recent season of Fargo, and breaking away from Stranger Things as it wraps up production on its final season. You get all that and more. We're talking about the album Decide. It's Kyle Meredith with Joe Keery.
Hey there.
Let's see. Here we are once again talking about, I mean, there's a lot. You've also always got a lot of things going on, but suddenly this record that you put out a couple years ago with Decide has found a new life with End of the Beginning taken off. And I kind of wanted to start there because this is an album that I guess at this point, what, traces back 4 years or so to 2020? Do you remember what your headspace was at that point?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it seems kind of far away. A lot's happened in the last few years, obviously, given with the pandemic and everything. But yeah, I feel like I still, you know, the cool thing about all this is that a bunch of people have kind of latched onto this track and kind of what started as this thing that I wrote that was kind of specific for my own life has kind of become something that people have adopted as their own and discovered it and taken it and applied it to their own lives. So that's kind of like the entire point of art, I guess, in ways, for people to do that and to have made something where now people are doing that. I mean, that's like kind of the whole point. So it's really cool and a real shock for me. And yeah, it's just been like a real cool past couple of weeks.
Well, especially when everybody else does the heavy lifting for you on the
Yeah,
marketing.
definitely.
But when I, you know, when I look at it, because there's certain lines in here that I love, that I definitely feel, you know, that resonate with me. But in those moments, like where you say, "I'm working on it," people never change, but I have to try and runner. Like that's I think that's what I was meaning why when you see your headspace, because so much of this record, whether or not, because sometimes the eye isn't the artist, we know that, but you know, in these moments right here, I think that's what I pick up on when I listen to it, is like, or even regardless how I hear the album, it's like when I think of the you know, you and the artist, and I'm sort of putting those in separate and together spaces, it's like looking back on that, do you find that this person that is in this album that is facing these challenges, are you the same person? Have you pushed through? Have you made it to the other side of these moments?
Yeah, I definitely was in a different place when I was kind of writing all this music, that's for sure. And I feel like a lot of it was me at a certain crossroads in my life and, you know, kind of coming to terms with that and making changes in my life. Like, you know, when you kind of are hitting like your, I started writing this when I was maybe 27 and then probably finished when I was about 29. And it's just like a real kind of tumultuous time in your life when a lot seems to be changing and you're kind of really leaving your sort of childhood behind. And so yeah, it was a lot of that. And I felt yeah, I felt that majorly.
Yeah, that leaving the childhood behind, especially, of course, with this song Into the Beginning. I think that's what a lot of people are finding their own resonating with. Coincidentally, I was revisiting an interview I did with Sharon Van Etten yesterday, and she has that song "Comeback Kid," which is sort of about a very similar thing. It's about her going back to her hometown, and when she gets there, it doesn't matter what she's become, she's that person. She's that person that she was in high school. She's that person that she was as a kid, you know, like something that she can't escape. Is that sort of what you were hitting on in that track?
I guess that track, it's like, so I spent a lot of time in Chicago. I went to school there, lived there for about 6 years and kind of had some real formative just growing done there, in my kind of late teens, early 20s. And going back to Chicago now as an adult, it's just like it just puts into perspective the rest of my life and how things have changed and how different things are now, and puts me back kind of in the headspace of what my hopes and my dreams were. And then yeah, to kind of have that in direct comparison with who I am as a person now. It's like a sense of pride and a sense of real accomplishment, but then also a sense of kind of sadness, I guess, for a time that you'll never really be able to go back to. And maybe at the time you weren't as appreciative as you didn't really understand kind of what was fully happening. And if anything, I guess the sentiment of the song is just to sort of like come to terms with that and then try to be more present in the current moment that you're living in, I guess. And it's kind of, even though it is a nostalgic song, it's about, I think really it's about not being nostalgic and not just trying to relive your past, but you know, yeah, be fully present.
Now, are you able to escape, like the issue that I was just talking about, or whether or not that's an issue or not, do you find that is the case for when you go back? Like, do you find that you fall into, you know, because when I go back to the little town in Kentucky that I'm from, and I, you know, I haven't lived there for nearly 30 years, but you meet these people and suddenly it's the weirdest thing. Like, they know all those things about me, of who I was then. And there's a, you know, just that percentage that I just become that again, whether I want to or not.
Of course, I think a lot of people feel that with their families. You kind of slip into the, you know, the role that you had when you were 16. You were living at home. Yeah, there's a part of me that definitely does feel that. I think that's a pretty universal feeling. Yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with. like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Joe Keery. You posted the demo to it and said that it kind of reminded you a little bit of Annie Lennox doing No More I Love Yous.
What a song, man. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a big childhood song. My mom loved that song. So I felt like when I found that little synth tone that was in it, it reminded me of that. And I think I had made that maybe a year before and just sort of logged it and kind of moved on. And then kind of came back upon it when I was working in the studio and thought, you know, maybe this one would be worth fleshing out.
I love that. I love that comparison. I love that song. I mean, that's one of those that'll stop me in my tracks every single time too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very unique.
There's a lot in this album too. I mean, of course there was so much going on in technology at the time, but it's interesting now to listen to it, even just 2 years after it's come out. I mean, it almost, you know, since then the AI conversations have taken off so much more. The deepfake conversations have taken off so much more. Do you find that what you're talking about still sits inside that conversation?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I do think so. I mean, a lot of it was just like my personal struggle with using social media or trying to not use it and feeling like it kind of is just a bit of an echo chamber. So just a criticism of that. And I think that that's not going to really go anywhere for a long time. In fact, I'm sure it'll just get sort of that'll just get more and more amped up as we kind of go deeper.
I mean, the genie's out of the bottle. Is that the right phrase to use at this point?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
You really can't put it back. But I do love the way you talk about those moments, because in On and On, you know, it's my phone, it's my world. And that sounds sort of big, but it almost sounds like it's a little mundane moment happening in a little room and the scrolling and the on and on and on. And this is one of those, it's an impossible question. As a songwriter, how do you know when to pick up on those moments for something as small as that?
I think a lot of times it can be really easy as a songwriter to think like every single thing that you're doing is kind of like your big magnum opus or whatever. So I think it's really important to just work quickly and not be too precious. And sometimes kind of focusing in on smaller things, that works for me. And yeah, I think little moments like that can kind of speak to a greater issue.
Definitely does. And it sounds great, by the way. I don't even think I've even complimented the sound. The way the sequencing and the way the tracks hit together. I mean, I think maybe somewhere else, maybe it was another interview or something, you're kind of figuring out how it started in one place and ended another. But how purposeful was that? Because when I hear it, it sounds like a journey.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a real big fan of like eclectic albums. I really like a wide variety of sounds. And I feel like I'm kind of always putting myself in that position where I have a batch of songs and think, how the hell am I going to put all these together? But I really enjoy that problem because I feel like having the variety allows you to tell a story and allows you to kind of surprise people, which I think, you know, everybody, I think because of social media, everybody in film and TV, all the audience, everyone's so smart, you know, everyone can really see a lot of the twists and the turns coming. And so we don't have this element of surprise in things. So I like to try to do that, I guess. And so I think, you know, it's funny. I hadn't listened to the record in a long time, and this kind of all happening, I listened to the record again. And, you know, as all artists do, they hear their own mistakes or things that they could have done differently and stuff. And it's funny that you say that you thought the album sequencing was like a really strong part, because I was kind of like, well, there were some things that I thought were really strong, but if I was going to do that, I would have changed a couple of things. I would have changed this song. I would have changed this song. So it never really stops. You're always kind of like, you know, editing yourself, I guess.
I'll do that to some there's records that I know it's like, I'm missing something about this. This should be resonating with me. And it's funny how every now and then it's like, well, what if I just rearrange it? You know, is that? What is that? And then suddenly there it is. There, you know, it happens for me.
It's
So it's, there's also another side of this, and I want to tie this into the other side of your career too, because this duality that you've sort of always introduced, not just from the stage name, but even the way, you know, you've sang about yourself in the songs. And I just saw Marmalade.
Oh, nice. Thanks, man. Thanks for watching that.
Yeah. And I know I'm maybe making a thread that it's not there, but it's close, because that movie, like you there's this duality. You're playing these dual roles at the same time.
Yeah.
A character and a character, I guess. Yeah. Is what I said. What was that like for you, you know, as an actor? What was it like getting into that? Because is that a little bit more tricky than, you know, just the one character?
Well, I think that, you know, what everyone's looked, well, I guess what I'm looking for in when I do something is a challenge. And I felt like Keir had written a script that felt like an homage to a type of film that really kind of wasn't made anymore, kind of like these genre sort of twisty cat and mouse, you know, 90s kind of, you know, comedy thriller, you know, dark movie, sort of light, playful, kind of whimsical. And yeah, so the role I just thought was really interesting. And again, kind of like I just said, there's a big element of surprise in that movie. You know, the audience kind of doesn't really know what's coming, and that's just like so fun. But it can be a lot to sort of keep in mind. You definitely have to, you know, check yourself kind of consistently and while you're working. And kind of the nitty-gritty of making a film, you sort of, when you're thinking about making a movie, it's like kind of this, you know, grandiose thing. But when you're actually in the trenches doing it, it's really kind of, especially for a small indie movie, it's really kind of run and gun. So you gotta make sure that you're really prepared and you're ready every day, because the whole thing happens in the blink of an eye, and then you kind of are left hoping, like, oh man, I really hope I did that thing justice.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Joe Keery. The movie was so good. It was so fun. I loved the way it was shot. The three of you all, you know, especially playing off of each other, you and Aldous in the jail cell, and that accent.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's like what Keir did. He really opened it up. It's just like I think allowing the, you know, it has this grand sort of sense of like, you know, where does this take place? Like, what world are we in? But I think that kind of all plays into it. So yeah, it was fun. Keir is amazing, man. He's a great director. I'm sure he's going to continue to make amazing stuff.
I sure hope so, based on that. I did want to ask, the masks, like, is there a story behind those masks that you guys wear? Because they're very creative.
The masks were something I think that Keir, when he was kind of doing concept art, that was already around when I kind of, I think, signed on to the project. And he had found like old pictures of masks that looked like that. And they were, I'm pretty sure they were handmade. I'm pretty sure.
Look handmade.
By the production. And yeah, those things were amazing. They're like paper mache. Like, I think Megan Spatz, the person who did costumes, did them, and she was fantastic. She also nailed the job. Like, that pink coat that Camilla wears is, like, fantastic.
That's what I said, everything about that. And I know it's a little movie, and I really do hope people see that. I so enjoyed it. And I'll quickly hit on the other things, of course. Fargo, that was an incredible season. I'll just briefly ask, what was like to engage with that character?
I'm a huge fan of that show. I had watched the whole show, fan of Noah's, and was pretty nervous, to be honest, going into that project. I was kind of coming straight from something else and had to kind of really quickly switch. And, you know, when you're working with such amazing people like Juno and John and Jennifer and Lamore, and you just really want to make sure that you're doing it justice. And there is such kind of like a legacy to that movie, to that show. But all that being said, it was a really, you know, for them to be able to kind of like see me as that character was a real kind of leap of faith for them. And they kind of really took a chance on me, because I don't think, you know, if you had maybe read it off the page, you would have said, hey, I think that dude would be the perfect guy for that. But Noah really trusted me and saw something. So Yeah, it was a joy, and I owe everybody over there like a real, debt.
And that's got to be the best thing for an actor, for any actor, because obviously, Stranger Things being such the big hit that it has been, I think for any of the actors especially the ones that have been on there from the beginning, to say, I can do different things, and to find those people who believe in you. I mean, that's got to be, I don't know if I want to say it's the biggest challenge, or maybe is
Yeah,
it the
for
biggest
sure.
challenge?
Yeah, that's the challenge. That's the goal. I think like you're hitting the nail on the head. And if I think anybody in my situation would want to do the same thing. You kind of want to, I've been giving this like amazing gift of Stranger Things, and it has been like a real joy of my life to work on that show. And as it's kind of coming to an end now, it's kind of my job to rediscover who I am now after that and try to kind of push myself to do different things. And that's what I'm interested really doing in acting. And then music as well. I mean, that's kind of a big reason why I ended up sort of having this, character dressing up for all this stuff, because I kind of just was really hoping that sink or swim, the music would kind of just like have its own life. And I've just been, really thrilled and overjoyed that it's kind of had the sort of path it has. And but yeah, that's the challenge moving forward. It's just to continue pushing outward.
Well, I love all the things that you've done, especially outside. I do love Stranger Things. I'm looking forward to it, as I have been, as the rest of the world is. And just talking with Maya the other day, and
Oh, lovely. Yeah, she's releasing new music too. Yeah, her stuff is great.
she's incredible. I mean, her as a lyricist is just blowing my mind a lot of the time.
Love it.
Yeah. Tell her I said hi.
Hello.
Joe, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it today. Seriously, it's been a real pleasure.
Of course, absolutely, anytime. Thanks again, also. Thanks to you, Kyle.
My thanks to Joe Decide. That album is out now. You can also catch him in the film Marmalade, Fargo, and the upcoming final season of Stranger Things. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. You'll get three new interviews just like this sent your way every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Again, you can grab us at Spotify, at Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org. Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org, because that's where I do a show every weekday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent episodes featured classics from Lucinda Williams, Tom Waits, The Who. We had some Suki Waterhouse, Lenny Kravitz, Jamila Woods, Bruce Springsteen, Always, Silverchair, Tori Amos, Kirsty MacColl, Zwan, Rolling Stones, Jade Bird, Richard Thompson, Patti Smith, Brittany Howard, Matthew Sweet, Grace Cummings, The Smiths, Sarah McLachlan, Wilco, and my interview with actress Monica Raymond as we discuss the final season of Hightown that's playing now on Stars. Again, that's just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence also has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith, so please do like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for having me.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.